The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Welcome to the radio show, Connected, brought to you by PTC, Rolls Auto, and Menchie's Frozen Yogurt. I'm your host, Lester R. Cox. Folks, Connected is an ideas-driven show with a global perspective that links difference makers and forward thinkers, and we put them in conversations about life, politics, and pop culture. I believe we talk because we have something to say. We should listen because there are things we don't know and can learn. When you put talking and listening together, great things can happen. Because in that small space between talking and listening, change, new possibilities can occur. I invite you to show up in some public space, step in and speak up, even if your voice shakes. Our collective greatness depends on it. More importantly, the answers that we seek, they're already in us. First, the Spotlight Memo. Say what you want to say.
Our leadership are once again making announcements for embracing the competitive advantages of the knowledge economy. All this while the world is on the cusp of the shift to the digital economy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our leaders are saying that we must now embrace the third industrial revolution, which many have called the digital revolution, where the use of technology includes the personal computer, internet, and ICT. This era peaked in 2008. Not surprisingly, as our leadership slumber since 1992 and now begins to awake, some 25 years later, a new dispensation called the Internet of Things is fast becoming the next generation in economic disruption. This transition towards the fourth industrial revolution builds on the third industrial revolution that we are just seeking to embrace. Let me better explain the third and fourth industrial revolution. In the current knowledge-based economy, information is protected and provides competitive advantages. This economic model made knowledge a tradable commodity, which was surely disruptive as it The new model called the digital economy or the industrial revolution or the fourth industrial revolution hails in an era where information is no longer protected but is now considered a collaborative resource. The developed world is pushing away the concept of the knowledge economy model, connectivity, artificial intelligence, sharing, collaboration, virtual reality, smart energy, smart devices, big data, dark data, nanotechnology, biotech, bioengineering, autonomous vehicles, augmented reality, Internet of Things, robotics and automation, and the likes. Together, this means that the knowledge only true value is at the moment of creation. It now only takes moments for knowledge to decay and be known as legacy information. Access to products and services are now being shared, making knowledge the ultimate collaborative commodity. Collaborative consumption is moving us away from the individual knowledge ownership model of the marketplace of the digital economic model. Many of you saw this in real-time transition to the use of WhatsApp when it shifted from a server-based environment to direct connect for sharing of information. While our leadership seeks to adjust in what is fast becoming known as the legacy knowledge economy, they must seek to grasp the reality of being late to the table. The Bahamas thriving in this new digital economy will now be determined by the speed in which we can act on data from all sources. We must, however, encourage our leadership's slow and cumbersome awakening to technology. We can and should immediately embrace and assist in shifting our current economic model into much-needed direction and move towards the beginning of the leveling of playing field for behemoths and allow for the shaping of their own economic destinies. We must do this on behalf of the millennials, the 25 to 40-year-olds, and Generation Z, the 4 to 24-year-olds. Technology and digitalization across our economy would create a paradigm shift and would drive down many costs of doing business across the archipelago to virtually zero. We must embrace smart communities, smart cities, smart islands, smart country. Technology would enhance economic job creation, human capital, civil service reform, access to capital, freedom of information, transparency, predictive policing, immigration, border control, natural resource management, healthcare delivery, education, and remote learning, and the likes. And now for our poll question. Should small communities like the Bahamas concern itself with the things like Uber, Airbnb, driverless cars, big data, the internet, and city government, or should they wait until big countries and the companies figure things out? Call in. Number one, the first answer is number one for yes, number two for no, or number three. Let's just think about this. Our telephone contacts are 323-6232, text line 422-4796, WhatsApp 455-4896.
Hey, thank you, C. Allen. Hey, great job, bro. C. Allen, great job, bro. Totally appreciate you, man. All right, let's see what C. Allen said online. Let's see what people on Facebook are saying. Here we go, my boy Sean. Sean's been wondering. So, what's going on? Sam, I'm hearing C. Allen. You on vacation again? All right, Sean, I got you there. All right, Arlington Butler, yes. If we become simple end users of technology, we will get left behind in the global economy. Intellectual property is the gold and black oil of the 21st century. Without it, we are merely end users of technology. And folks, that's been a huge problem in the Bahamas. We are happy playing with our cell phone. We don't watch Law and Order on the beach. We don't want to drive the technology that's driving technology. Yes, we don't want to get left behind. This is another person. Lester R. Cox, it's possible with proper research. It should also be manageable in such a small space. We need to take our country to the 21st century in job creation and thinking. Totally agree. So, C. Allen.
Yes.
This whole idea, man, of stepping into the fourth industrial, you call it the third industrial revolution. You know, most of us, we're calling it now the fourth industrial revolution, where we're saying the first revolution was about energy and machines. The second one was about how we manufacture. The third one was about computers and information. And we're saying this fourth one is about how everything is connected to the internet.
No, what I'm saying is that our government is now beginning about embracing the third industrial revolution, when the world is moving to this new digital economy, which is called the fourth industrial revolution.
That's, I got you.
That's where, like when you say virtual reality, artificial intelligence, smart energy, big data, dark data, nanotechnology, all those things are being used. And so what happens is that the third industrial revolution peaked in 2008. We're coming down to the end of the third and moving into the fourth. Let me give you one example. Where information in the knowledge-based economy, the third industrial revolution, was considered what you hoarded and sold. In the new fourth industrial revolution, sharing is everything.
Oh, I got you. Hey, let's keep this conversation going, man. I think in the Bahamas we need two cities. One at the airport, run around the airport. So you see what Albany is doing, and then we need one in Nassau to deal with the cruise passengers. And I think if we diversify leadership in the Bahamas, I think this country, I think we could take our place again as one of the leading countries in the Caribbean.
But let's say, I think that Grand Bahama, as promised by the Free National Movement in their manifesto, is a perfect example for creating those type environment in these so-called cities, because we have a major harbor, the major airports, we have multiple smaller cities that we could break in quadrant, and the Hawksville Creek Agreement already called for municipal government for the city of Freeport. So this could be an ideal to bring about what you talked about, and at the same time, embracing the smart city concept.
Good. Hey, bro, let's win this idea. Thank you, C. Allen.
Thank you so much.
All right. Drum roll, Simba. Yeah, see, Simba. C. Allen was supposed to wait for the... C. Allen was supposed to wait for... And he's supposed to say, and now the poll question, and then you play that song. All right. Folks, it's Tuesday, so that means if it's Tuesday, we've got In the Bush, businesswoman, activist, the great Erin Green. Erin, always a pleasure to have you in studio.
Yawning this morning. It's a pleasure to be in the studio. I have been spending my time between Justice Gardens and the bush. You know, it's fruit season. This is a bulk of my work right here.
Yeah, that's it. This is when you're making money. You know, I told your friend this morning that my wife asked her, you know, so we're the tamarinds, you know, my wife and my son, they always in the food store buying these Chinese tamarind box.
Yeah, no, tell them what to do is buy them and plant the seed here, right?
You think those seeds will grow here?
Yeah, I think they've been growing here for about 20 years at least. They get some tamarind varieties coming out of Fox Hill.
Right.
They really make me believe that people planted that sweet Thailand brand, mm-hmm. or, you know, seed.
Right.
And so you have these tamarinds that have the most beautiful balance of sweet and tang.
When you get that mix of sweet and sour.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And
perfect.
I think that's an element or a factor that distinguishes Bahamian fruit from other Caribbean countries' fruit, right? Now, places like Curaçao, Barbados, flatten lots of limestone. They can be producing fruit sort of like us.
Right.
But, you know, I will stand on any ground and say that Bahamian mangoes are better than Jamaican mangoes, are better than Trini mangoes, are better than Guyanese and Suriname mangoes, simply because we have the balance of sweet and tang. And while we're talking about balance, right?
Lord, let's hear this.
And I don't spend all my time in the bush, but I will be in Justice Gardens. You know, our show is starting August 12th and 19th.
Now, this the TV one or this?
No, this is the live stage show. So this is the live improv comedy show.
See now, you know what I don't get from y'all, right? Why y'all only come book the GLI's gym? Why y'all don't come to the stadium? You know, the stadium is a place where they got the best convention space in this country, you know?
We working on it, you know, but it's only...
Y'all ain't got to work on it, you just got
to
go.
It's only two ways you could get to Justice Gardens, right?
What are the two ways?
One is there's a bridge in the back of South Beach. In the back of the track road, in the back of the bush, behind the side of the pools, right?
Hey.
And you could only see it on a Sunday if the rainbow is coming from the left to the right. But the other entrance to Justice Gardens is the Dundas. And we still working on permits for inter-country and continental transitory movements, right? We got to get all our visas sorted out and all of these things. But we preparing for the show. So we're going to do the live improv show at the Dundas, August 12th and 19th. And then, I think I could say this, we got some wonderful wonderful partners, and one of those partners will be recording the show.
Right.
So for those who can't make it to the show, because maybe they're having a baby or they're going to the moon, like they're the only things I could think about that would stop you from coming to the show, you could watch it on TV, right?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important to get Bahamians out. Bahamians need to work on coming out to events because they're important.
Well,
this island got the perfect demographics for anything to happen in big numbers. We got 200,000 plus people on a little rock that's 21x7. So, you know, your event should be sold out.
Yeah, man. And if we're talking about building, if we're talking about national development, right, and being cutting edge, you want a cutting edge arts community. You have to support your arts community. You have to go out, the locals, the natives. We have to go out and support the arts community. And we have to beg and demand representations of ourselves. And we have to go out there and support it with cash, time, and resources. But let's say, we're talking about balance. This conversation you guys are having, it's a really interesting conversation, right? But to me, it sounds...
I was concerned about how you'd react to this whole smart city driverless cars, Airbnb.
No, I love it. I love it, right? I don't have a problem with it. My concern, though, is that we often forget that your work is always twofold.
Okay.
In your left hand, you're doing the work.
Right.
Right? You are building small hotels and you're running small hotels, right? You're establishing these industries. In the right hand, though, you have to do the work of creating a culture of appreciation
right, for
what you do. In the U.S., they call it marketing.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's marketing. You have to, if you're going to build Airbnb, right, then there's a culture that's attached to Airbnb and small and tiny boutique-style hotel and accommodation.
Now, by culture, you mean, what you mean by culture?
So, what I mean by culture is that you don't just have a room
right, and
put an ad on the internet and say, I have a room, come rent it.
Okay.
There has to be a culture, right? There has to be, so your social media spaces,
mm-hmm.
right, are a part of this movement. And you have tons of web based information. So the person who's coming to rent your room can learn about your room, the community the room is in, the island the community is on, online, right? With Airbnb, you need a complimentary transportation service.
Right.
I don't know any taxis that come to Johnson Road. I mean, I have a neighbor who have a taxi. I see the taxi moving through. But regularly, I've been told by taxi drivers, we don't drive to Johnson Road, and there's certain areas we don't go to.
Yeah, because they strictly work. Yeah, but see, but we're working on that now. There's somebody who got now a Uber Groove.
Right, and so with the Uber now, like Uber, great idea, because you can't catch a taxi in Nassau. But the first commercial for the company I saw, the driver had a cell phone in his hand the entire time.
He shouldn't be driving.
Right, using insurance cell phone. Culture.
True, right, I got you.
So I need to know before I get into a Uber that this driver has a good sound driving record, that their insurance. Because I get into a stranger's car and we have an accident and I end up in the ambulance with no recollection of who it was that picked me up, what happened, right? So we have to do, I say it's great, let's push forward. But right. At the same time as we're pushing forward, the entrepreneurs need to connect with the innovators, the culture builders, the social commentators, and do the work of building a culture of appreciation for what it is that you do. So right. I do comedy, and I also do the work of building a culture of appreciation for local comedy. I have to convince Bahamians that it's not just vital for me, an artisan, but for them, a Bahamian, to contribute to this industry.
And to come out.
This is where you should spend your money. This is how you should direct your money. These are the services that you should start to build your life around. And so I have a concern that we want a smart city.
Right.
We want to be technology driven.
Mm-hmm.
BPL can't keep the power on.
Yeah, but see.
No, they can't. In fact, Lester, like, I feel you. Like, this maintenance is a simple thing, right?
Right.
Countries all over the world have shown us how you handle maintenance. The people still haven't come and picked up. They haven't come and picked up the BC equipment that was damaged post-storm.
Yeah. I drove all the way out to my daughter's learning to drive, so we want a long driving. And I just drove on that back road. It's amazing how, you know, nothing's happening out there.
Right.
But the problem with places like BPL, though, is if you're in a small city environment, you're not going to have that problem, because BPL is not going to be supplying my city with power. We're going to supply our own power.
Exactly.
Right? You know the beach soccer World Cup that we had?
Yeah.
You think they was dependent on BPL to provide the power for a global event where you have to have 100% power? No, we had generators.
Yeah, I hope so. I want to drive festival culture, right? I think that the festival culture is an effective, an efficient model of subsistence labor, right?
And
I think it fits right in with Bahamian culture. But you know what I realized?
What?
We can't improve festivals
mm-hmm.
until we convince BC that they need to provide, as the basic standard, more power at the festival
site. Yeah, but Aaron, what I'm saying to you is, people who run in global festivals, they don't care what BPL doing. You know why? They can have their 2 megawatt generators online ready to go. It don't matter what BPL doing when you world class.
Right, so I have to get the vendors and event organizers, right?
Mm-hmm.
To organize themselves. We need a vendors association, right? So we could start contributing money to a fund so that we could have a permanent festival site where our dollars are being invested in solar power and alternate generation.
And you guys should make that happen. We need to do things.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is,
but it requires leadership.
Right.
But it requires leadership. Where you know, it's a huge problem in the Bahamas. People too broke to lead national things because they got to get paid.
Yeah, or their perspective is wrong, right?
Okay, I got you.
Their perspective is wrong. But, you know, I realized that I'm at the front of the train and I'm trying to drive the train, but I have to stop and make sure that all the cars are connected to the train. So I'm not saying it's impossible.
Yeah, but Aaron, let me tell you why I think you should think about it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of research on champions and winners. And do you know Olympic culture? People who go after gold medals? That's a very small community, you know.
Yeah.
People who train in 3-4 hours a day for 5 years, that's a small community. We don't need a lot of people into Airbnb, you know. You see how Ismirilian all over the place now trying to get this country to refocus on nonsense? right? We ought to be very careful. When you think about Burma, we should not get this country focused on Burma the way the PLP was focused on Burma. Mm-hmm. Because Burma, when you think about as brilliant as the place look, and I was there the other day, and I get, bro, I get, you want your things back, I get that. But that's your issue. The country needs to focus on growing our economy. Because Burma, when you think about the whole impact of it, they only got like 1,100 rooms to our inventory.
Well, listen, and it's a plantation tourism
But I mean, I even think that's not my view. I'm saying 1,100 rooms in the Airbnb world is like nothing.
Right, and so, but why reference plantation model, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a behemoth, and right. Its purpose, right? That purpose for that establishment is you're the first stop. Right. So when my guest comes to the Bahamas for the first time, they may stay at Bahama or at Atlantis. But we expect those tourists to have access to the entire city while they're here.
Right.
On their second trip back, right? Mm-hmm. By that time, they have decided, okay, we did the Bahama thing.
Yeah, we've had an opportunity. Try something different, yeah.
Right, and so we can use these behemoths as a tool, right? Like we could repurpose them and use them to drive an Airbnb model.
Totally.
But okay, I wanted to say this. When you raise the Olympics point, I thought about this last night. Everybody in the world trying to be the fastest.
Okay. You have a race for the slowest?
No. What happened to the race to perpetual motion?
No, I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, you know, the scientists, we continually trying to figure out how to create perpetual motion. That is, you have one burst of energy and that's all you need. And the device or the thing can perpetuate itself forever. We've been on this push
interesting.
To get to the who could be the fastest. But we've distracted ourselves from the perpetual, the sustainable, right? And so when I bring that back to the conversation that you and C. Allen was having, my initial response to it was, these by them having this 30% conversation again, right?
And so actually it's 10%, you know, and you just need, like how many prime ministers we have had in our history? We've had Sir Lyndon, Hubert Ingraham, Barry Christie, and now Hubert Minnis. You don't need to produce a lot of leaders in a small country. You just need to produce a couple.
Well, no, but you need a bunch of followers because we're too small to operate the way that global north developed countries operate. We have to concentrate but all of our energy and resources into one or two projects at a time.
And that's why I asked the question, should small countries like the Bahamas focus on things like driverless car, big data, the internet? And I think we have to, because if we don't, we're going to be playing. You know why we get so much bad advice from the IDB and the IMF and these places? Their advice. You ever notice that every consultant we bring into this country, every foreign one, their advice never works? You don't notice that?
I see the problems in the implementation.
It's not just an implementation. The problem is the idea doesn't work.
Right. So let's not. I'm not saying let's not do these things. All I'm right. saying let's not wait for global north and developed countries to develop them and then tell us what to do.
Right.
Let us do that work ourselves. So you see what I'm saying?
But that requires the kind of confidence that we've not demonstrated in the past.
Right. And a skill set that we seem hesitant to use. So let's not wait on global north to tell us what the culture of this industry is.
Right.
Let's determine for ourselves what the culture of this industry will be in this place.
But that requires experimentation.
And collaboration. Between the innovators, the academics, the thinkers, and the doers.
Right. And that's why it's important, I think, to recognize, number one, the Bahamas is a city state. We need to recognize that and stop playing around with that. And then we need to go from there.
Because, look here, I saw a post on Facebook. I think it was the IADB. The IDB was sharing for free. You could download it, a package on, I think it was called Creating Paradise in the Caribbean or something like that. And, buddy, if my computer didn't cost me more money than I currently have,
right.
I was gonna dance on that. Wow. My initial response, I was dead upset. How could these people suggest to us that they gonna tell us how to create paradise where we live,
right.
Like what we create.
Such arrogance and cluelessness.
And for me, it just reinforces the idea that they don't really think this place belongs to us. It really belongs to somebody else. And that somebody else is determining what paradise looks and feels like for them, which is why I so entrenched in us exploring what plantation models are. Plantation banking, plantation economic, plantation tourism models, plantation politics model, politic models. Let's explore them, deconstruct them, and figure out who they benefit and why they're not benefiting, not just us, but all of us.
I got you. Folks, you listen to Connected with Lester R. Cox. Today's show brought to you by BTC Menchie's Frozen Yogurt. You should go get some of that. That's some good stuff. Rolls Auto. Talking with Aaron Green. Anxious to hear your thoughts on the poll question. Should we focus on these new technologies like driverless cars, Airbnb, big data? Should we think about such things, or should we wait for the big boys to work it out and then we adopt? Back in a moment.
Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories. For auto parts and more, don't roll with the punches anymore. Rely on Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories. Find the largest selection of starters, alternators, brake parts, and water pumps, even heavy-duty truck parts. We now carry hardware, electrical, and plumbing, and lawn and garden supplies, too. At Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories, East Street South, call us at 392-1122 or 3. We're open 7 days a week from Monday to Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
BTC customers, here's your chance to win free phone credit at any of our locations. Pay your bill in full at any of our BTC retail and neighborhood stores, Easy Pay, or MyBTC mobile app, June 23rd through June 30th, and receive a phone card valued between $5 and $20 for each bill paid in full. PTC, every day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Yeah, folks, welcome back to Connected. We're having the innovation conversation. You know anything with driverless cars? Just Google and the rest of them. I saw a couple stories about Volkswagen and BMW. All these companies are talking and thinking about driverless cars. I'm curious to know what we in the Bahamas are thinking about. We need to get our act together. As somebody's saying, we need young, innovative leaders in order to drive information technology. We need to get real and deal with corruption. It's killing this country. Well, I can tell you one thing. I heard AG the other day, man, and I was so disappointed. I think he should just be quiet for a long, long time. We need to stop following the big countries. They built their countries on slavery. All right, we can get some of that. There is an Uber-like service that is better run than Uber or Lyft.
Lyft.
All right. It is called Freeport Lyft. The company also has a branch where you can have your food from restaurants or fast food places such as a ride to you. Hey, give him my number, man. I'd like to have him or her on. I'd love to talk to them. Lester, you ain't tired hearing about the bush. What's in this bush? What's in this bush that's profitable? Well, you know, Aaron is a woman. She live off the
soil. Man, listen, I am Lester. You notice I almost fall out my chair.
What?
This boy just asked, "What in the bush is profitable?"
Right.
Let me share a story with you. Right, in 2003, I was working at the Bahamas Environmental Research Center in Stanyard Key, and I met a man who had worked with the center prior. Giving tours, driving vans and stuff, helping move people around.
Right.
And the gentleman told me that he remembers clearly escorting a scientist, a researcher, into the bush and her asking specifically about plants that, aid sexual function. And then shortly thereafter, we have the release of a product called Viagra, right? Like, everything in the bush is vital. Ginger come from the bush. Ginger is the base of most of the world's antibiotics, right? So when you hear black people talking about, oh, my stomach's hurting and I need a little ginger ale, it's not ignorant black folk. It's people that have still a thin connection to indigenous knowledge that ginger cures. We could talk about soursop. We could talk about the fact that soursop seeds are selling 5 seeds for $2 online right now. In fact, we could talk about not just the bush, but the land, and we could talk about aragonite. And I think it was C. Allen Johnson who posted yesterday the 3 most valuable natural resources on the planet: air, water, and aragonite.
Interesting. I don't know where you get that from, but anyway.
But we talk about aragonite is used as a base in making everything.
I need to see some more data and facts around this. I don't like to have fantasy conversations on my show.
I mean, okay, I could be honest with you. I appreciate that sentiment. Mm-hmm. I will put my Scarlet Plum picking license on the table and tell you, in the Bahamas, in Andras, we have a type of sand that occurs in Andras,
right,
in the aragonite family. It's called uetic sand. While I was working...
What kind of sand is that?
Uetic. O-O-I-D-I-C. Uetic sand. Okay. While I was working at the Burke, a researcher brought her university class down, and I was driving her. She explained to me that when she got married, she didn't have a honeymoon. And her husband asked her, what do you want? I wasn't able to give you a honeymoon. What you want? And she told him, I want you to pay for me to go to the Bahamas to study uetic sand. I stood on rocks that didn't exist when Christopher Columbus sailed through the Bahamas.
Right.
And so what I'm saying to you is that there is nothing but value in the bush. Our problem is that we have not invested in the infrastructure required to add value to these raw products and make them valuable on the international economic capitalist market.
Right.
It's as simple as that. So maybe we should stop investing in Mercedes and Rolls Royce and 4 vacation a year and mansions and start investing our money in developing mechanisms and institutions that can turn our raw and natural resources into...
Now, you mean the country or you
currency.
Mean people? You know, people do what they like.
Both. We need to do it at an individual level, at a social level, and at a national level. If we say we believe in being well and fit, let's invest our money in gyms, in open-air spaces that people can use to stay fit.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing. I don't know who's stopping Bahamians from a mine in aragonite. I don't think no one's stopping them. So if people want to get in aragonite, the salt business... Go get your money from abroad or wherever you get it from and get in that business if it's so valuable. See, Alan hitting me back on Facebook. He says where he got that from was that they had this special on PBS called Sand Wars. So, you know, the people who got this aragonite argument, I need them to make that case to me in a better way.
All we need to do, like you say, it's there, it's valuable. We need to stop slunking.
Right.
We need to stop
and go make
joking
it happen.
And make it happen.
Correct. Go make it happen.
Invest in your own success.
Right. Stop jonesing for other people's business. And our government owe it to us to show us whatever data they have on aragonite and stop playing around.
Absolutely. Right. The aragonite is not a resource to be used to fund the state, to fund politicians and their dreams. It is a resource for the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas to decide how it's to be used.
Right.
I mean, that's the most important part of the discussion, Lester.
Interesting. I've been also having another conversation on this BTC thing, and so I made a point, and this dude came on my site, and he told me, say, the point I made that when I hear certain people talk about BTC, I cringe because, you know, number one, they've always been wrong about the point.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I've always been right about the point. And so this dude told me, said, there's a guy who could educate me. And I swear, I was like waiting for this dude to like educate me because I really want to know who would take an asset that's self-generating, like aragonite, right? Give that asset to somebody else, sell it to them, and then take the money you get from it and put it on a long-term loan that's not going to generate any money, but it's going to cost you money. I'm just trying to find out which ignorant would do such a thing to their family. Now you see, now I know governments will do that because, you know, governments don't care. But I can think of a single individual who would take their family's self-generating assets and put it on a mortgage and say, I don't know how we could keep paying the mortgage.
Yeah, I mean, it is the thoughts of a person wrapped up wrapped up in the most selfish form of capitalism there is.
No, that's not capitalism.
Yeah, man.
No. Aaron, because they capitalized. No, that's not capitalism. That's just ignorance.
No, they must have capitalized personally at some point. You don't give up the potential.
Or you mean they won't get the shares of BTC in their pocket.
Right, or pay off something.
No, I got you with that. Yeah. But if you're telling me we just want to make sure we transfer the assets of BTC to other wealthy people and no problem. And I got you. That could make sense to me, but explain that to me. Don't tell me I don't know the basics, because I know basic economics.
Yeah,
economics is economics, and if economics don't make sense, I remember when I did GCE economics. They always had this ignorant thing in the textbook. It always annoyed me to no end. You know how the textbook started? Say, economics is the study of how man allocates his scarce and limited resources. I never agreed with that statement. I never wrote that statement down, because it was always a statement of ignorance.
I feel you.
And that's from these so-called people who study economics.
Yeah. You know, we have our own kind of Bush economics.
Yeah, what's that?
A question frequently asked is, if you have 7 scarlet plum tree in the bush,
right,
and all 7 bearing, and all 7 trees bear roughly 100,000 plums a season,
right,
how many scarlet plums do you have?
Right. What's the answer?
You only have the scarlet plums you could put in your belly.
I got you. All right. Let's take a couple calls. Folks, if you want in on this conversation, the number's called 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The text line, 422-4796. Here we go, Simba. Caller, go ahead. You're unconnected.
Good morning, Lester. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, man.
Hey, listen, I just want to give you some information as relates to getting into the business of mining aragonite.
Interesting.
First of all, you must get a license from the government. The process is very costly. The government, the former government had a proposal. They made a proposal at their desk that they didn't review.
Right.
And it's still at their desk. Bahamians want to get into the mining of aragonite.
Now, which government is this now?
It's a very lucrative business.
You're talking about the new government? The new government don't want people to get in?
No, I didn't say the new. The former government.
Okay.
I myself was involved in trying to get a license to mine aragonite in East Grand Bahama. And they never ever, the former prime minister told me on December 28, 2015, that he had approved it, and I was supposed to move forward. Today, it never has been approved, never moved forward.
Well, you need to call the current prime minister and get that file.
He told me how valuable aragonite is, and he was trying to get me to tell the company that I was dealing with to go mine aragonite, something he looked around the tongue of the ocean. He said where the bulk of it is.
Oh, this is what Prime Minister Christie told you?
Prime Minister Christie told me that, yes. He said aragonite is very wealthy, has much value. He said the bulk of it is around the tongue of the ocean. And so I said, encourage people who are dealing with to go around the tongue of the ocean. As a matter of fact, he went as far as to say that Frankie Wilson was exploring the possibility of mining aragonite.
Well, John, the tongue of the ocean. John, let me give you some advice. Call my boy down at Bissex, right? You know the guy who runs Bissex?
I can find him.
All right. And you know, Lesser Bahamian Company, Bahamians are mining aragonite, and I guarantee you're going to have some investors, and then you'll go there and make that happen.
But we have the investors. We got the investors. We have the investors. We have the professor who's prepared to come to the Bahamas to teach Bahamians how to refine aragonite to make glass and pharmaceutical supplies, even baby powder, building supplies. We have showed the government 9 different samples of things that are ready made from the aragonite retrieved out of the Bahamas.
All right, John, so what were your... What were the projections? How much money you're going to make off this? Just give me a ballpark figure.
They anticipated at that time that they could mine a minimum in the raw process of 1 million metric ton a month. And at that time, it was offering the government $3. But once you get it to refine, the government could get as much as $25 once they allow the people to refine it.
So hold on. So your plan was you were going to mine 1 million tons, and then you were going to sell that to who? Who were you going to sell the tons to?
The raw would have been exported if the government did not. Let me give you quickly. If the government was not given a permit for it to be refined in the Bahamas to make it manufacture glass and all of that, you'd have to send it out to different countries where they use it for the purpose of refining it.
All right.
If the government
Give me a customer. And who you can sell it to?
They have problems. If you want me to show you the presentation, I can make yourself available. I can have people to show you the presentation.
Yeah, send it to me at lesterarcox@gmail.com.
No. I want you to sit down. I don't know if you want to send it. I want you to sit down and look at it and let them determine what portion they will give you. Let me know when you want to do it. I can do it. Because it's very important lesson for you to have this knowledge, because people really listen to you, and people regard you as being an intelligent behavior. And the fact that you refuse to get your information on Aragonite, it baffles me.
Yeah, but John, I'm not into fantasy conversations.
This is no fantasy. You did your research on city government.
That's not a fantasy. That's a real conversation. We can get that going now.
Yes. I see. And so I want to tell you as early as tomorrow, I can get you to sit down with the people. They can take you through the whole process and let you see.
All right, good. You got my numbers. Thank you, John. All right.
Okay, good.
Let's take another call. Caller, go ahead. You're unconnected.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, caller. You're unconnected.
Lester Cox.
This is me.
Aaron Green.
Morning.
Sunday, I was listening to this man on CNN. I guess he grew from place to place. He was in Trinidad. Do you know concrete is made of calcium? And they grind it up.
Right.
Do you know what is the main ingredient in Tums? T-U-M-M-S?
In what?
The main ingredient in Tums. Stomach.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Calcium. That's the main ingredient. That's something getting rich off of that. And do you know this, right? Everybody who dreads, like they dredge in them ocean key, right?
Right.
Do you know they bought that sign away?
Yeah, now who's the customer?
Huh?
Do you know who the customer is?
Everybody who buys the key. Ocean key was surrounded by some cruise line now.
All right. No, Robert, I hear you, right? I'm asking you, all the Aragonite you say is coming out of the Bahamas. Do you know the people who are buying it?
Some rich foreign are getting rich.
All right.
I know.
See, that's why I understand the fantasy conversation.
Well, Lester, we know somebody's buying it. In fact, the last report I saw on ZNS, it seemed like Bahamians were selling it, and there were Bahamians that had interest in the company in the States that was buying it.
Right.
But we should just ban it. If it happened to the majority of the poor people, we should just ban it. Until we get the right terms of a contract.
Yeah, but Robert, we all capitalists. If somebody got an Aragonite deal, let him keep his Aragonite deal. You go mine your Aragonite, Lutra, Abaco, Grandmama, wherever. Don't try to stop somebody.
You have a right to put a duty on it then.
Yeah, fine. You know that's what countries do. Countries tax their exports. Fine, we could do that. But leave the people alone who already have their Aragonite deal. I want you all to tell me, who are these people who buy in this Aragonite?
Well, everybody GlaxoKline.
Yeah.
Tums, that's the main ingredient in Tums. Calcium carbonate.
So how much conch shell they grinding? How much conch shell they buying? Because they got a whole bunch of conch shell.
They're using the raw thing. But if you grind, remember, that should be very pretty too. That pearl that is made of calcium carbonate, every conch shell, some places are grinding that down. And making whatever they want to make. Put it in cement.
I got you, Robert. Thanks, man.
Basically, aragonite is one of nature's building blocks, right?
I understand that.
One of the most basic, and these international corporations have figured out how to turn it into plastics, how to turn it into glass, how to turn it into consumable stuff.
I get that and I understand that. If you're telling me, okay, we could sell our sand to the construction industry in the U.S. and around the world, I get that.
Yeah, but here's what's more concerning for me, and I think I'm sort of understanding your position. The last report I heard, aragonite was being sold from the ground at like $2 a ton. I heard, I think the, one of the last
whatever the figure is, it's not all that important.
Right. I think a union guy just mentioned it is very important. Selling at $3 a ton, right? I thought Bahamians were coming in to ensure that we could get a greater value, right? That we get more money for the raw product, right? Or that we locate the manufacturing here in the Bahamas so that we can make more money from the product on its initial sale, right?
Right.
But if you want to start an aragonite industry to sell aragonite to the same people at the same price so you could put some of that money in your pocket too, I really don't understand what this conversation is about. It seems like we're just trying to become a part of a plantation economic model instead of using our resources to deconstruct the economic model, the bad economic model, and create a good economic model that benefits all Bahamians.
I got you. All right, let's take some more calls. Caller, go ahead. You're unconnected.
Good morning, Lester. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Lester, you can't be dismissive because you don't have the information, you know.
Let me get you straight.
You call it a fantasy.
I'm not, right, I don't have fantasy conversations on my show.
Let me give you the facts then.
Go on, give me the facts.
Tony Myers, who was the president of Ocean Key, he was also a president of Bahamas Nick,
right,
said to the National Guardian that he was selling the aragonite for $50 a ton to a company called U.S. Aragonite LLC in the U.S.
Right, okay.
That same company was reselling the aragonite up in St. Petersburg, not St. Petersburg, in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania, one of them, for $400 a ton.
Right.
So basically, we sell it to them for $50. They resell it for $400 a ton. That's not fantasy. You can also go to U.S.
And how much of that? Let me separate that. See, now that's some math I can understand. So how much of that are we selling you? Do you know?
According to the last estimates I saw, they were shipping out, say, 120 tons or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, 120 tons, that's only like $480,000.
That's not a year, though.
That's only a little bit of money. That 1,200
that's
tons.
That's a month.
Yeah, but 1,200 tons, that's like candy money.
That's a month. That's the money that they sell now. But like I say again, but they also have interest in that same company. So even though they sell it for $50 a ton, and the company resells it for $400 a ton, that's a lot of money.
I got you.
We're not getting.
I got you.
Now, we're supposed to be getting $2 or $2 a ton for that stuff, which is peanuts, compared to what they're getting from it.
No, I got you.
So imagine that same company that's buying it for $400 a ton, what are they selling it for?
Well, let me tell you how I think about any business. Every business starts with the global demand. So if you tell me the global demand for aragonite is 100 tons, and we're shipping 2 tons from the Bahamas,
That's not the global demand. I want you to look at the U.S. Geological Survey, look at calcium carbonate, which is also aragonite, and you'll get the exact numbers as to what's being shipped out.
Yeah, I got you. All right.
USGS.gov.
Well, the Bahamas government should have that data, because if the Bahamas government taxing them $2 a ton, we should be getting $2 for every ton they ship out. Folks, back in a moment.
Everywhere you go, know this for sure. Hey, family's got your back for real. Can you see the possibilities? 'Cause we're limitless. Oh yeah, it's how we live. We're family.
Part of the BTC family, the possibilities are limitless. BTC, the bigger, better network.
Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories, for auto parts and more. Don't roll with the punches anymore. Rely on Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories. Find the largest selection of starters, alternators, brake parts, and water pumps, even heavy-duty truck parts. We now carry hardware, electrical, and plumbing, and lawn garden supplies, too. At Rolls Auto Parts and Accessories, East Street South, call us at 392-1122 or 3. We're open 7 days a week from Monday to Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yeah, folks, welcome back to Connected. Today's show brought to you by Menchie's, Rolls Auto, and BTC. I just Googled, what is the global demand for aragonite? And then when you get a chance, Google Bahamas export of aragonite. And then we'll start to get a handle on this, all these fantasy conversations we have around here.
Yeah, man. You know, so let's say I was sitting off here. The conversation you having is very important, right? What does the future of the Bahamas look like? But the conversation only becomes valid when everybody is clued into the conversation, right?
No, see, Aaron, everybody don't have to be clued in.
Yeah,
we need to have the committed folks clued in, because everybody, what they do is they follow the top 4%. The top 10, 15% clued in.
Everybody got to get clued in. What I'm saying is you don't have to worry about cluing them in.
Right.
Your job is to think of the ideas and bring them to the people.
Right.
My job as an advocate is to make sure that everybody could get on the train.
All right, I got you, because I believe that You don't need to produce a lot of leaders. You need to produce a small amount of leaders who can influence other people to get with the program.
What's the guy's name? Malcolm Gladwell. He talks about the tipping point, right? The
right.
point at which culture will begin to shift naturally, or people will join. They'll just right. start jumping on the train mm-hmm. without even knowing why.
Or bad things. How bad things happen. Like how diseases spread.
Right.
Right. There comes a certain point where when certain people get it, they spread it to more people.
Right. And I think we need to examine what is the tipping point in a small island developing state. Like,
right.
how do we apply that principle, A, to a small place, and then B, to a small place that is connected to everywhere?
I got you. I also think we need to make sure that we win the battle for certain ideas. Like, see, big government is a bad idea for a small country like the Bahamas. A government that's taking 30% of your economy is a bad idea for a country like the Bahamas. And also a government that's taking 30% of your economy that's not efficient, can't get its act together. Never, our government don't get one, they have never gotten the projection right. They don't even, they can't even properly estimate what their revenue is going to be. And you see, this is why our country's not growing, because we have people who are driving our country, the executives in the government who are driving our country, they're not really modern people. We've got to get them modern. I'm not saying that you're not educated.
Right.
But they're not modern.
Right. Your thinking is not modern.
Correct.
Right. And your perspective is not modern.
Ditto.
And it needs to change. Any politician that doesn't, if you don't hear your politician using the word archipelago, you know you ain't going to have no family island development. Right? These by them... I think I heard maybe two politicians in the campaign season use the phrase archipelagic nation.
All you have to do is, if you listen to the debate in Parliament and you listen to the Senate, you know that our leaders are currently not modern thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a diss on them. It's just what it is.
And I can tell you, going into the 2017 election, I knew that summer 2017 was going to look just like this, because I didn't hear any candidate or politician using the words energy crisis. Like, they refuse to even acknowledge that we're in an energy crisis.
Interesting. Because the only thing that's going to cause us to grow right now, I'm not talking about the fantasy conversations about fixing grandmama. That's a fantasy conversation. That may happen sometime in my lifetime, but right now, that's a fantasy conversation. What we could deal with right now is BPL.
Yeah.
We get the right engines and the right fuel for BPL. That's going to grow the economy by 3% by itself. I ain't talking about bringing nothing new. You fix that, you fix BPL.
If you fix BPL, you will remove, almost every single barrier in the economy. You will see small to medium-sized businesses businesses grow.
You know what you could do right away? And this is why I'm not impressed with this Ismailian conversation. We could allow people to have Airbnb right now, and we could increase our room inventory by 2,000-3,000 right now. That's like billing. That's like just releasing an Atlantis right away.
Absolutely.
We ain't got to, that don't have to be no fantasy conversation. And then the third thing we could do is we could control government spending.
Yeah.
So it's not difficult to grow this economy. We just need to be a little smarter.
We and committed and disciplined about it. That's it right there. Discipline.
Right.
Discipline.
All right, folks, we saw all your texts. Now, I know I promised you the Chinese guy, but you know, sometimes we get stuff that's lost in translation.
Mm-hmm.
We just got it lost in translation. Aaron, thank you, man. Always a pleasure to have you in studio.
Yeah, listen, let me just say one more time. If you don't see me in the bush, that's because I'm preparing for August 12th and 19th. Come join the spot. Bahamian Saturday Night Live. Improv, sketch, comedy. The funniest thing you've heard from your own people ever.
I gotcha. Today's show brought to you by BTC, Menchie's Frozen Yogurt, and Rolls Auto. Garland Smith is up next.
Cause they are all the